o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now with Alex Strofe and Hunter Vaughn in as our cousin subs of the day. Matt played this at the Door Community Center, Community Auditorium.
How was that on Tuesday
Fish
night?
Fish Creek. It's great. It was great. And it's always great to see Matt. He's become a good friend of ours, and the girls just absolutely love him, and such a ridiculously talented musician. We're lucky to have him in our life, and it was really fun. And I was really tired the next day because we got back home about 12:30, and Sid played in a basketball tournament, played really well. So I think we're going to sleep deprive her before more basketball tournaments. Seemed to work pretty well.
You guys are nonstop.
I want to get to this. And not talk about our life, because I do that and people get annoyed with it. So we won't do that. Instead, Jesse, always helpful, always. Well, maybe not always, but sometimes helpful. And you know how much I love to read on the radio. Awful Announcing, which I really enjoy. I think they do a really good job over there. There's some really interesting stuff. I'm always interested in kind of the media realm, obviously, being in it. I'm not sure this one I agree with, though. So as you recall, on Wednesday, and I don't know if we have the audio of this handy or not, but we were in the middle of our press conference with LaFleur, and any of us that have an iPhone, myself included, had to go off with an emergency alert. Now, that it doesn't happen very often, right? Paula and the girls and I were in Madison last week, and one went off for a tornado warning while we were shopping in a local Goodwill. And you know, everybody's got an iPhone, because even if you have your phone on silent and vibrate, it still makes the sound. And so LaFleur was in the middle of an answer when these, you know, like 12, 15 phones went off. And, you know, he kind of gave this, you know, this is why you guys in your phones, you know, this is why we don't allow phones in meetings, et cetera.
He sounded like an 85-year-old history teacher.
Yeah. Here's his reaction.
He had a great offseason. I think this is. All you guys in your phones. That's why I don't have a phone in here. This is why we have our rule, no phone. So, I don't even know what the question is anymore.
So, all right, couple things. First of all, the Packers put this on their socials.
They did, yes.
I'm not sure why. If I was the coach of the Packers, I would say I didn't feel like I looked very good there, right? It threw me off. I felt awkward, right? And now I notice that Awful Announcing takes him to task for this. To be fair to LaFleur, the sound was incredibly distracting and would almost certainly throw off just about any coach in the league if they were put in the same situation. But with that being said, given the wide range of potentially serious issues the alert could have been related to, many fans thought that LaFleur may have been a bit insensitive in his snarky comment to reporters about their phones going off. Look, we live in a difficult at times world right now, and I get it. There's a lot of crap going on. I'm not going to kill Matt LaFleur for not knowing how to react when something that you're not expecting happens when you're up at the podium answering a question about Sean freaking Ryan. And yes, you also, if I don't know if anybody else, you know, let those who be blameless cast the first stone. Like, if you can handle anything, like, Lord knows I have to handle a lot on this show. You never know what Tausch is going to bring up, right? But that's a tough thing to kind of navigate with all the cameras on you at the front of the room. So let's give him a little bit of grace that he was thrown off by it. Like, I don't think Matt LaFleur is an insensitive jackwagon who doesn't care if a tornado is about to suck up the stadium because he's been distracted and he's mad. I don't find that to be fair. I just don't. Tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not. I think he handled it as anybody would. I actually enjoyed that he turned into, as I mentioned, like an 85-year-old history teacher. You guys and your phones. I'm reading the awful announcing article that you are referencing, and essentially it's all these tweets saying this is a bad look. Love you, coach, but if that's a tornado warning or a line of thunderstorm with destructive winds, it's necessary. Somebody then tweeted it's an amber alert that you know it's
which
it's
wasn't.
Immediate. It blah blah blah. It wasn't. It wasn't an amber alert. I was there. I was in Green Bay. I wasn't in the press conference with you, but I was out at the AmFam Dream Drive. And I felt bad for the rookies that were coming through at that point. There were some UDFAs coming through on the bikes, and they just looked distraught because, number one, it's their first time doing this bike thing. And number two, they're hearing all these, I mean, hundreds at that juncture, right? Because we're at the Dream Drive, there's people everywhere, and all of our phones went off at the same time. And all the alert was there was a situation at a park in Ledgeview, which is about 7 miles from Lambeau Field. And it had ended. It said you no longer need to shelter in place. Jason, I was in Green Bay all morning. I never got the alert that we needed to shelter in place.
Me either.
I mean, it's nice we have the EAS, the emergency alert system that you know notifies us that there's a situation happening. But whoever was running it in Brown County that day missed the initial alert. We got the situation. That alert said the situation is no longer happening. You no longer need to remain in shelter. I never got the initial alert that said we needed to remain in shelter, which I thought was odd, but that's neither here nor there. This is a ridiculous thing to get on Matt LaFleur for, right? I'm sure he has his flaws. I don't think this was a bad moment necessarily for him. I thought he handled it about as well as you could have, honestly.
Yeah. Again, I like what they do over there. It's really interesting reads. This, I'm not here to defend LaFleur. But I guess I am doing it right now because I just don't this again. There's also a reason why I miss the days where we could ask these questions without it being televised live and streamed everywhere. Like, as I like to say, and as I think you saw me point out after his back and forth with me at the end on Wednesday, all that matters is the answer. Because that's what we're there for. You know, it's not, you know, I know people think my questions are long because it's some sort of performative thing that I want attention for. I could give a rat's you know what about, I don't want attention. I don't want these press conferences on TV or on the web. I don't. And so when he gives me grief, people aren't trying to say that he's a jerk or that other words. That to use that, like, I don't want that. Like, I want to be able to have the rapport that I had with Holmgren or with Sherman. Like, nobody saw that stuff. So I'm not there to make it about me. It's about the answer. And so sometimes weird stuff happens. Now, I would argue that Mike Sherman deserved the criticism he received for overreacting in whatever that was, 2005, when somebody's phone rang during his press conference. Hey, a few years ago, inexplicably, my phone started playing a Taylor Swift song in a press conference.
Good moment. That was a good
now,
moment.
To be clear, I love Taylor Swift's music. Sydney and I love it. We're big fans. Paula and Maddie love Pink. Love her too. Went to see her at AmFam a few years ago. Great. But I cannot tell you how petrified you feel when something like that happens. But Mike Sherman lost his crap at the media that day. And in turn, like, revoked our access to Brett Favre that day because no one admitted to it being their phone. So that's one thing. What happened on Wednesday, I didn't mean to use up this much time on it. I just don't get it. I don't think that was necessary. All right, we need to move forward. A lot we want to get to still in the remaining 1 hour and 33 minutes. I'm going to turn the show back over to Strolf. We're not going to do our Mr. Irrelevant takeover just yet. I do want to get to something that Matt LaFleur did say yesterday on what he wants to get out of these practices. We'll get to that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wildy and Tausch back with you. It is Friday, the third and final ramp-up practice of training camp. We'll be down there soon, Reinicke Field, with some updates. We also have the shareholders meeting later this afternoon, so I'm sure the crowds out there are plentiful for the practice today. Again, Matt LaFleur telling reporters during his pre-practice presser that Savion Williams won't practice today, did not say why, and that Aaron Banks, their new left guard, is day-to-day with a back issue. But, Strofe, one of the things that I think you definitely want to get out of these first few practices is stay healthy and not get anybody hurt. So whatever might be going on with those two guys is less than ideal. But there's more to it than that. Here's Matt LaFleur discussing what he is trying to get out of the first few days of practice.
I think it's more about our habits, our standards, the non-negotiables, you know, how we practice, our processes. I think that's what we're trying to kind of lay the foundation for the season. You know, this is the first time really that our guys all offseason, we haven't done run game full speed. So this was their first crack at it yesterday. And you're always trying to avoid guys on the ground. That's how people get hurt. Guys get rolled up. So I thought, I mean, there were a couple instances of that, but by and large, it was pretty clean. But it's all the little things that end up ultimately, in many cases, decide the difference between winning and losing.
So that's not super exciting, right? Yeah, no blank blank. You want to, you know, work on good habits and all that kind of good stuff.
He's got really like good at the coach speak.
He can be really good. That was kind of bleh.
Yeah.
But be that as it may.
Yeah, a lot of it has been. Go ahead. Yeah.
But be that as it may, like, look, this is the world the NFL world we live in now, right? And so this is, you know, what I thought was really interesting, borderline surprising and maybe not the greatest answer that's ever been given. Like if Awful Announcing wanted to criticize him for something, it should have been for his answer to the question about if there were no restrictions, would you want to practice more? From Pete Doherty, the Press Gazette. And he said no. He'd want more time in the building. He'd want more walkthroughs, but he wouldn't necessarily want to practice more. And I, you know, that was I would have loved to have, and I didn't, but because I'm bad at jumping routes. I would have loved to have followed up on that, because that I was curious about. Mm. Why? Well, why not? Why wouldn't you want more practice time? It seems like you'd want more practice time. But I think he's a believer, and I had this conversation with Homer. You know, I think he's a big believer in work smarter, not harder. And I do think he thinks the game is more, up in your brain than it is necessarily mental, what you're doing. So I understand why he answered that way, but it's still, again, if you want to get after somebody for something they said, that was an answer that I didn't think was his best answer, right? So all right, so
I would agree.
You're gonna take over now and do Mr. Irrelevant as like a sub show inside of our show.
I don't know if that's quite the right definition. We are going to do one segment we do on Mr. Relevant called One Word Wednesday on a Friday, where we're just going to hit a bunch of stuff we're not going to hit when you return from the sideline of practice.
So might what be is sports, might most likely not be sports, you know, kind of randomness.
We might end up talking about the Chuck E. Cheese thing. I really want to talk about that.
Oh, okay. All right then.
No, I would love your insight on that topic. So maybe we'll get to you on that a bit later. But yeah, I want you to get over to practice. I want all the reports, all the juicy gossip going on at Reinicke Field. And we will you're in good hands, Jason. We'll take care of Wildy and Tausch.
Mm. All right. Well, I'll believe that when I hear it. All right, you guys are going to take over. Not until though Tausch tells us from beyond the studio about his love of course, like more Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
I'm Alex Strumpet for Mark Tauscher. Jason Wilde off to Packers practice. So it's just us. It's me. It's Hunter Vaughn back in the Everlight Solar Studio. It's Will Summers here with me in the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all, studio in downtown Milwaukee. Which means, Hunter, I mean, it's good to be with you, first off. Good morning. Earlier than we're used to.
Yeah.
Aside from the essential or the usual Mr. Relevant, which we do 12:30 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mr. Relevant today because we're doing this. But do you have some music for us by chance? Can we really take over Wilde and Tausch for a moment?
Yeah, I mean,
and give it like the real Mr. Relevant feel.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, away we go. The Friday abbreviated Mr. Irrelevant edition of Wilde and Tausch. I'm Alex Strofe. Hunter Vaughn with me. That's Will Summers.
I feel like I'm there now. I feel like I'm there in Mr. Irrelevant right now.
So we do a game each and every Wednesday. We call it One Word Wednesday. We're going to do it on a Friday, though, because, look, this job is awesome. We love what we do. Jason will attest. Like, we have the best jobs in the world. We're so lucky to get to do what we do. And, you know, whether it's the normal hour or so we do Mr. Relevant three times a week, whether it's the normal Wilde and Tausch 3 hours a day, it's still not enough time to hit everything we want to, including Charles Edward Cheddar. Chuck E. Cheese getting arrested, which I'm sure we'll get to in a moment. So we do One Word Wednesday, where Hunter has a list of topics we didn't have time to hit. And we just respond with one word, sometimes more, sometimes less. Sometimes we just tell Hunter to hit the bricks, right? We just skip it if it's a bad topic.
Throw some hyphens in there.
Yeah, sometimes it's hyphenated words, sometimes it's acronyms. But we try to accomplish our goal. So right now, right here, we're going to do a One Word Wednesday on a Friday on Wilde and Tausch with all the topics we didn't have time to hit. Will and I will each give one word. Hunter will give us our topics. That is what we will do until we reconnect with Jason at Packers practice. Training camp practice number 3. Jason will join us just in a few minutes. So, Hunter, the floor is yours, my friend. It is time for One Word Wednesday on a Friday.
We're going to start off in the baseball world as Arizona Diamondbacks first baseman Josh Naylor was traded to the Seattle Mariners. Naylor, a name that was connected to the Brewers as somebody they could target, and he's already off the board about a week before the trade deadline.
Well, I know you're so close to making a joke about his name.
No?
Okay. Got it.
We're all more mature than you, Strum.
My word... Yeah, that's true. Not a high bar. My word is like... ease. I'm okay with this. I'm at ease. The trade deadline is not for another 6 days. So while I do expect the Brewers to be active and make a move at the deadline, because you would be stupid not to, right? You need to be buyers at the deadline. I'm at ease here. So I'm going to use the word ease. Will?
I'm going to go with the word sellers. The Arizona Diamondbacks are selling right before the trade deadline. And you know who plays for the Arizona Diamondbacks?
I do. Yeah, Gino Suarez does.
Yes, a guy that has been rumored to be linked to the Brewers.
Heavily
potentially trading for. Has 36 home runs this year. Diamondbacks are sellers. Well, keep an eye on that.
Well, it's the story that Strofe wanted to get to. I'm not going to waste any more time. Yes. A Chuck E. Cheese employee was arrested while wearing the rat costume for credit card fraud. Strofe, just go ahead.
Yeah, I don't even want to do a one word here. The word would be how. Like, how do you know that's the guy? He's in a full-blown mouse costume. He is literally playing, cosplaying as a rat. And you're like, oh, there's our guy. That's the credit card fraud guy. So this story out of Tallahassee, Florida, where a man in a full-blown, as Hunter just alluded to, full-blown Chuck E. Cheese costume. So he is the mascot walking around this restaurant, arcade, where there are many children present. There is a picture on the internet of Chuck E. Cheese in cuffs. And there are seven or eight children looking on. And they look absolutely petrified, as a six, seven, five-year-old child would be, seeing, I don't want to call them your hero, but like, all these kids, I remember being a kid. Will, I'm sure you remember being a kid, Hunter. Right, he's your idol. You love Chuck E. Cheese. It's a happy place. You got arcades, you got games, you got, you know, live performances. I remember the one right by Lambeau Field in /Green Bay, where they had the animatronic band, right? Like, I loved it. To see Chuck E. Cheese walk out with three police officers in cuffs, it's unbelievable. And they didn't know for sure that it was the guy until they got him out to the squad car and took off the head of Chuck E. Cheese, which, by the way, also terrifying for children. It's like breaking the fourth wall. I mean, like, wait, oh my God, that's a human? Like, these six-year-old children had to be absolutely petrified.
Or this was like they got to do real-life Scooby-Doo, and they're taking off the mask of the criminal. So maybe this was actually a dream come true to these kids.
You know what? I like that spin zone. I like that spin by Hunter. But my word is how. How do you figure this out? How do you figure out, you know, and also, another piece to this. Do you think, I legitimately do believe this. This is what I've convinced myself of. This guy got the job as a mascot to run away from his crimes. How could they arrest me at work if I'm Chuck E. Cheese? Mm. You know, like, I think that's a smart play by him, but ultimately it didn't work. Exactly. Like, I'm not, you know, for me, my name is Alex Strofe, right? I'm not Alex Strofe when I'm wearing that costume. I'm Chuck E. Cheese. You can't arrest Chuck E. Cheese. You can arrest Alex Strofe, but I'm not Alex Strofe right now. I'm Chuck E. Cheese. That's my view on it. Will?
I'm going to go with Moldy Cheese. His money is no good anymore. That's all I got.
That's so bad. You shouldn't be proud of that.
I was kind of proud.
Let's go back to baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday, but they still have a half-game lead on the Toronto Blue Jays for the best record in baseball.
Yeah, the word's badass. I mean, it's unbelievable what this team has been able to do this season. They don't have a bona fide superstar. It's as simple as that, right? Jacob Mizorowski might become that, but I think it's still too early to say he's a bona fide superstar. Freddie Peralta's been awesome, right? Brandon Woodruff, since he's returned, has been awesome. Some of their bullpen arms, Obner Uribe, Trevor McGill, like, they've been great. But offensively, when we're talking about swinging the baseball bat, they don't have a bona fide superstar. Sal Frelick is still their best average. They don't have mash hitters, right? They don't have any mashers. Home runs, I think they're 24th in the league. But they play small ball so well. It's Murphy ball. What they've been able to accomplish this year is unbelievable. So my word for the Brewers, who get back to action later this afternoon, right, Will? It's a 3 o'clock game,
yep,
or something?
3:10 first pitch. You can hear it on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Madison's new home for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes, of course you can. You got it, Hunter. 100.5 ESPN in Madison, as well as 620 WTMJ here in Milwaukee, where Will and I are. Look, I mean, it's legitimately unbelievable. And hopefully, fingers crossed, as they take on a pretty mid-Marlins team this weekend, get a couple, and then Monday it's go time. You get the Cubs at AmFam Field Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday you're off again, and it's the trade deadline. So the next week for the Milwaukee Brewers will tell you how much they consider themselves World Series contenders.
My word is scrappy. Let me read you a quote from Caleb Durbin via Bob Nightingale. We know how good we are. If you're not ready to scrap nine innings with us, at the end of the game you're going to be on the wrong end of it. If that doesn't get you fired up for Pat Murphy and Brewers baseball, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
One last one here, going to college football. The Michigan Wolverines will open the 2026 season taking on Western Michigan in Germany. Now, the Badgers are scheduled to play Pittsburgh in Ireland, but other than Ireland, where do you want to see the Badgers play an international game?
My word is nowhere. Maybe it's because I'm just really, really down on the Badgers. But if you're going to go on a world tour, like, let's at least be good. I am so deflated when it comes to the Wisconsin Badgers this upcoming season. They have, and I don't know
They'll
that it's even debatably, but they debatably have the toughest schedule in the country. If they go 4-8, I won't be surprised. If they go 6-6, I'll be surprised. That's how down on the Badgers I am. And I'm not down on Luke Fickell. I think he's I still am telling myself I think Luke Fickell is the answer. But I am just so deflated when it comes to this football team for this upcoming season. So my answer is nowhere, Hunter. If we're going to go to Japan or Italy or Ireland, or let's at least be good. Let's bring a good product. And that's where I am. That's where I'm stuck at.
I'm just going to go Cancun, somewhere nice, you know, if we're going to have to watch them play football.
Let's go get a little sun, you know.
With the way things are going, if we're going to have to watch them play football, we might as well get by the beach, you know, have a couple, you know,
have a couple pina coladas. Yeah,
why not, you know, soak up some sun, you know. Then the football game is just an afterthought at that point.
Very good. All right, that is One Word Wednesday on a Friday here on Wilde and Tausch. I'm Alex Stroph in for Mark Tauscher today. Coming up next, Jason Wilde will rejoin us live from the sidelines of Nitschke Field. Practice number 3 for the 2025 football season is underway in Green Bay, so we will get the odds and ends from Jason Wilde. Coming up next, Will Summers, Hunter Vaughn, Alex Stroph with you from the Mr. Irrelevant crew, which you can watch and listen to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, beginning at 12:30. And, of course, you can get the podcast, the ESPN Wisconsin app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. So, no show today because we're here. They let the whole crew fill in today.
Inmates are running the prison.
Yeah, indeed. That's exactly what's happening here at Wilde and Tausch. But we at least get our prison guard back coming up next as Jason Wilde rejoins us from the sidelines of Packers practice. We get the updates from Nitschke Field coming up right after this. It's Wilde and Tausch, ESPN Wisconsin.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Miami Marlins.
Line drive, base hit!
Today on 100.5 ESPN.
What was I called while I was gone? The prison guard? Is that what I heard? Prison guard?
That is what you heard, yes.
Well, you feel like I'm the guy in Shawshank or what? That I feel like I'm more affable than a prison guard, but as Will did say, the inmates were running the facility while I was away. Indeed. Good work. I got to listen to the whole thing. I would like to see you as some sort of furry character. Obviously, I have done that role. Elmo, Cookie Monster, Grover, Bucky Badger.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
To multiple acclaim. I was never arrested while doing it, which is both good for me and for...
We should work on that.
I would love to know, because you guys discussed this and, you know, practice that we've got special teams going on right now. Porn! But we'll get into Packers practice here during the 11 o'clock hour. Shaka Smart is here, Marquette men's basketball coach.
Ah!
So...
Nice! Shaka, yeah. Say what's up.
I just texted Homer. I don't think he knows who I am, so I'm not really sure how to approach that. And I don't know if I want to say I'm a friend of Homer's. But maybe...
Yeah, that's a great point. So I do have a Homer story for you real quick, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, here at the 3rd Street Market Hall, which is where our ESPN Milwaukee studios are, we threw I don't want to call it a bachelor party. I don't think that's fair. We threw a Ben Brust bachelor, like, happy hours. I think we went from 5 to 7. And we had some fans show up, which was awesome. It was great to meet everybody. And we were having a few cocktails. And right at 6 o'clock, when the Homer Hour ended, you hear a loud yell from across the way. And it's just, fireball! And Homer walks over to a group of about 15, 16, 17 of us. And he goes, we're doing fireball. And he orders a fireball shot for everybody there, all the fans that were there, some of our teammates, and our KBN crew, myself, Brad Nortman, Kyle Wallace, and, of course, Ben Brust. He orders a round of fireball shots, and then he disappears. He didn't say goodbye. He just was gone. And that is Steve the Homer True. He's the best.
He, what is the backstory on the fireball with him?
He loves it. It's his favorite, a very cinnamony, it's his favorite alcoholic beverage. It must be. And the other thing, him and I were arguing. He was walking around carrying all of his belongings in a pillowcase, which I just thought was a little, for a guy as accomplished as him.
Or like, you call him them from another house.
I think they were his. There was like a notebook. His phone was in there. His wallet was in, like, he had to set down a pillowcase to pull out his wallet to pay for what he had purchased. And you call him the GOAT for a reason. He is the GOAT. He's the greatest Milwaukee sports radio guy ever. Hands down. And I just thought, for a man as accomplished as you, for somebody that's been, you know, on the pulse of Wisconsin and Milwaukee sports for as long as you have, and being the voice of Marquette basketball, I thought he was above carrying his belongings around in a pillowcase. It was just quite a visual that I can't explain. It's almost that you had to be there to believe it. It's like, what are you doing? What did he say? Steve the Homer True, man. Like, he said, well, it's not a pillowcase. I got this bag with a really fancy pair of shorts. I said, okay, so you're literally calling yourself Fancy Pants right now. And he said, well, no, I mean, I just got the bag. It's a tote bag. But it didn't have strings. It didn't have a handle. It was a pillowcase. It was unbelievable.
He is certainly one of one. We all know that. But he is the GOAT, and I know he hates it when I call him that, but nobody has done it better in the history of Wisconsin sports talk than him. So he may not like it, but it's the truth, and that's where I'll leave it. That said, I still don't know if that's my opening line to Shaka when I see him later or not. What I can tell you is that
I'm friends with the guy that carries around a pillowcase.
That's true. By the way, we're being told that it is a concussion for Savion Williams. So that answers that question. Not sure why that was withheld in the manner that it was, but nevertheless, that is what Savion Williams' situation is. So he is not participating in today's practice, nor is Aaron Banks. We will have more from the. There's been a new addition to practice. Players running up and down the sideline, getting the fans hyped up. I kind of like it. I like what they're going for over there. Got a Go Pack Go chant going. The atmosphere is raucous with the shareholders meeting coming up later this afternoon. We have more of Wilde and Tausch coming up in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.